At the risk of speaking sacrilege this morning, I have to confess to you that I actually wished this morning that we had screens in our sanctuary. I know, perish the thought, right? And the reason is because all week, without intending to, I have been curating in my mind a multimedia exhibit to connect with these texts and this theme. God with us in harmony. Did any of you hear that theme today and think to yourself, if that is the only time that God is with us, we are in big trouble? So you don't see a whole lot of harmony flowing around these parts these days. But that actually is why I think my mind kept going toward art, because art, in one of its purposes, is to help us see what is really hard for us, what we struggle to see. So short of technology at our fingertips, I'm going to invite you to use your imaginations with me as I walk you through each of the exhibits, each of the pieces in this exhibit I would have brought if I could. The first is a still shot that I saw on Instagram this week. It's a picture of a sculpture by a Ukrainian artist named Alexander Milov entitled Love. And what it is, out in the middle of the desert, is this wire structure in the shape of two adults who have turned their backs to each other and are sitting on the ground with their knees up and their heads on their hands. And for me, it captured a moment after some intense fight, after they had turned their backs on each other and the fight had gone out, but the anger and the weariness was still there. And they just sink their head into their hands. The feeling of disconnection was enormous. But inside the wire sculpture are two small children who are facing each other with their hands together. And if you go out and look for this picture, the best one that I've seen is at dusk, when you can still see the outline of the disconnected adults, but what you noticed most is the inner child in each of them reaching toward each other with their hands touching, illuminated by light. Where is God in the midst of our stubborn disconnection? Right in the middle, if we are willing to see. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, the second piece is a commercial that's gone viral from Amazon Prime. Have any of you seen it? I'm sure many of you have. And it's an imam who comes up to the door of a friend and knocks on it. He's invited in. They go in to have some tea, a spot of tea together. And you don't know until they sit down in the living room that the old friend who let him in is a Catholic priest. And you can't hear their conversation, but you can feel the warmth of it. And through the body language, you recognize that they are commiserating about the pain of their aging knees. So after their tea, the imam goes out into the street and he pulls out his phone and he pulls up Amazon, because this is a commercial after all. And he orders something, and then you see inside that the Catholic priest is actually doing the same on his tablet. And the next scene, each of them gets a knock on the door, and it's a delivery man, and they're clearly surprised, receiving a package they have not ordered for themselves, and they each open it and laugh, because in it is knee pads. And they laugh as they put on this gift from their old friend under their robe, so no one can see it. And then the last scene, it's just beautiful, is the Catholic priest going into his place of worship to genuflect before the altar, and the imam going into his place of worship to kneel down in morning prayer. It is beautiful. I saw an interview. These are two real clergy. The Catholic priest is named Gary Bradley. He's the vicar of Paddington Green. And the imam is Zubair Muhammad, a principal in a school in Leicester. And he said in the interview, the Muslim community is portrayed in the wrong way. And this was my way to show that the community does work together. We don't have any issues. We can work in harmony. Where is God in all of our angry disconnection. God is calling to us from right in the middle of it. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, the third piece in this exhibit is of the texts themselves, of Romans and Isaiah. And I don't know whether it should really be another piece of visual art, kind of a Joel Skoontanis style of the text from Isaiah that many of us have seen and love, or whether it should be a performance piece, a kind of mashup of these two texts, maybe in a poetry slam kind of version. But what I hear, and what I want others to hear, as they lay these texts side by side, is that God is right in the middle of religious life, even when we are embroiled in conflicts, battling for our place and for prominence. Isaiah is speaking to a time of conflict when there was so much fear for their survival that the people of Israel had become corroded when it came to their spirit of compassion and justice. He is embroiled in battle with his own people, railing against that corrosion. The people themselves, north and south, they are embattled with each other about what to do about this rising empire of Assyria. The passage from Romans is also speaking to the church, and it is embroiled in conflict with what to do with these unclean Gentiles who keep wanting to come to the table with the Jewish believers in Jesus. And somehow, I don't know exactly how, but somehow in this exhibit, this piece, whether visual or performance art, what I want people to feel is the conflict that is coming from every single corner. And in the middle of it, I want people to get the vision of this shoot coming up out of the middle of this stump from a tree that is dead and long gone. And yet, in that shoot comes a promise of a branch that will grow, a person on whom the Spirit will pour out. Now, we have, as Christians, of course, look at that shoot of Jesse and we see Jesus. Right? He is the fullest embodiment we can imagine of this prophecy. But this is not only about Jesus. This work of sending up shoots in the middle of decay is what God's Spirit has been doing for millennia through the people of God, pouring out a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge and awe or fear of the Lord. Presbyterians evoke these words every time they lay hands on. I don't know if you know that I sojourned with Presbyterians for a while, but when they lay hands on a student making profession of faith or someone being ordained as elder, deacon, minister, these words about the spirit of wisdom and counsel and might are evoked each and every time. In the middle of our embroiled conflicts, these shoots spring up and the Spirit is poured out. We need to keep this word alive. For as Romans said, forever what was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, this fourth and final piece in the exhibit is definitely a performance piece. This is one like the Moth Radio Hour, where somebody comes out to tell a piece of a story from their life. But I want there to be a digital screen across the top of the stage that keeps scrolling words of John the Baptist. Because I want everybody, as they hear the story, to keep thinking about these words: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is come near. Prepare the way of the Lord. I even want them to see, you brood of vipers, bear fruit worthy of repentance. One who is more powerful than I is coming. One who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire. I want this running over the top as this story is told. Now, this piece, like every piece in the exhibit, is an image of God with us in harmony. But you have to wait for it, because like John the Baptist, there is some ferocious truth-telling that needs to come first. So here is the story you would hear at that last stop. It is a story of something that really happened to a man named Michael Anthony Nalepa. And he has shared this story on social media and has given permission for others to share it. So I tell it to you in his own words. On Wednesday, I was standing in the line at the grocery store. Now, it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and so it was literally a 45-minute wait. And I'm standing by those dreaded magazines with those awful headlines that I try to ignore. And everyone is keeping mostly to themselves, except for behind me. Stands the personification of privilege, a white male, I'm assuming cisgender and straight. He's a total stranger, and yet he elbows me. And he points to the cover of a magazine and quite loudly states, I can't tell you anything of what he states. It is so foul. It is so offensive, filled with expletives. And then he laughs heartily. Now, when I say that he spoke out loud, I mean he was bellowing. And I look around, and everyone, not just in my aisle, but on the two aisles on either side, has heard. And they grimace, and they look down. Men, women, white, black, they look down. And then I suddenly flash to remember when I was a six-year-old child. And a family member once owned a house that was a part of the Underground Railroad. And we used to sit behind this slab of concrete under the porch, and we talked about what happened there. And even as a small child, a young white male, I said I would die before I let that kind of open hate in my world. I made the same resolution when I learned about the Holocaust in junior high. And I felt that exact same fire as I was standing now in the grocery store. But I found myself, like everyone else, looking down. But I couldn't continue to do that. So after 30 seconds, something in me snapped. And I put down my basket, and I turned around, and I looked him straight in the eyes. And I started shaking. I was shocked by how badly I was shaking, and words just began spilling out of my mouth loudly and fiercely. And I asked everyone, I'm sorry, everyone, but I must ask for support in addressing this hateful and ignorant man. Please look up someone. I cannot do this alone. People began to look up. I began to cry. I don't know how, why, but I just couldn't stop. And I continued staring this man down. I said to him, your comments were inappropriate, and I will not allow them in my world. And his reply, dude, calm down. I wasn't calling you an expletive or expletive. By now, everybody was looking up. I continued shaking uncontrollably, and I said to him, you will stand in this line, and you will keep your mouth shut. You won't speak. You will not address any one of us. You will pay for your things, and then you will leave. And he kept trying to respond. And I kept cutting him off, calmly, repeatedly saying, you're done. Shut your mouth. And by now, people were clapping. And eventually, he quieted down. And then he looked down. All of us were looking up, and he was looking down. And then immediately, everyone began talking. Not about him, or about what just happened, but about the holidays. Joyous, laughing. And it wasn't out of embarrassment or to pretend what happened didn't just happen, but it was because we had become instantly bonded in this weird and beautiful way. So I openly talked about my Friendsgiving that my partner and I were prepping at home for our LGBT family, as well as the pre-Thanksgiving we had had the week before for some transgendered youth who weren't welcomed at home. Us strangers even hugged after the checkout. Together, we silenced ignorant hate. We made the choice to look up, and we shared a moment. I was overwhelmed with emotion and fear before I decided to speak, but I asked for help, and help came, forcibly, beautifully. And then at the end of this whole exhibit, as you leave, there would be this beautifully lettered sign. I'd ask Chris Weirs to do it for me. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another. Go in peace. Amen.